This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 280, where today CJ and I are going to talk about some recent cloud outages and cover some news. Recorded live Monday, November 19th, 2018. Inbox Zero is a thing of the past. We're all so inundated with email, and that's where Samebox comes in. Think of it as an EMT for your email. As messages flow in, Samebox does the triage for you. Sane later sifts through all the distracting stuff out of your inbox so that you can focus only on the important emails. And that's just a taste. It also has nifty features like the Sane Black Hole and Sane Reminders. And best of all, you can use Sanebox with any email client or phone anywhere you check your email. See how Sanebox can magically remove distractions from your inbox with a free 2-week trial. Visit sanebox.com/MSCloudShow today to start your free trial and get a $25 credit. Hey, CJ.
How you doing?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Yep.
You got quite a bit of stuff going on.
I got the moving house blues. No, that's all
you're
good.
You're doing it the easy way when there's not a bunch of urgency because you actually own two houses now.
Yeah. If that was on purpose, I'd be pretty happy about it too. No, we've moved house without selling the old one yet, but it's due to close in a couple of days' time. So, just all the stress with coming with moving a house and all that. But the good news is we have gigabit internet connected at the new place. And so that's taken a weight of nerves off, right? Like, yeah. I feel like there was a moment there of, oh my goodness, maybe I'm not going to be able to get a good internet provider.
Yeah.
Right. In all my stupidity, I didn't actually call any of the providers before we bought the house.
Oh, wow.
I talked to the next door neighbor who we know that one of the next door neighbors and asked him who they use. And the answer was good. But I didn't, because it's new construction, it's a new build, I didn't call any of the existing or any of the providers to see if they service this particular house. Mm. And you know, in the States, I don't know if anybody international is listening, hopefully a few folks. It's pretty normal in the States for providers for you only to have one or two choices. And then a lot of the time, only one choice of provider in many parts of the country. And it's super weird, like when you, the lines of who services you can be very bizarre and arbitrary. So like just down the road from us, maybe two blocks down the road is the cutoff for Comcast. And north of that block, Comcast don't service. So they don't service our area. And it's serviced by a company called Wave, which turns out is really good. But there were some nerves there where I was like, oh no, I focused, like my sole requirement for this house was that it had Cat 5 cabling everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care about anything else other than did it have great cabling, right?
Yeah.
And so I checked that, but I didn't check who serviced the house. I was like, oh no.
Well, and the picture that you shared too was funny because you literally only had a requirement of Cat 5 cabling throughout the house and you forgot to put everything was terminated.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there is Cat 5 cabling, Cat 5E everywhere in the house, but none of it is labeled like back at the wiring panel. Thanks, electrician. And then none of the other ends of it are terminated in the walls either. So the plates the plates on the walls have coax and they have RJ11, is it? The telephone one?
Yeah, yeah.
But none of the RJ45 Ethernet is terminated at any of the rooms. And so, you pull the plates off the wall and the Ethernet's sitting behind the wall, right? But they didn't terminate them, I guess.
That is so lazy.
It's just run in case you want to use it. And I'm like, hell yeah, I want to use it. I want to use it everywhere.
So what's funny about that too is that, when ours was built, there's no RJ11. It's all Cat 5E throughout the entire house. Not every room has a drop. Most of them do. But what we found interesting was that, so you can actually terminate a Cat 5E termination. You can actually plug an RJ11 into it.
Yeah. You just use one of the pairs out of it. That's exactly how this house is done. There's two runs of Ethernet to every room. One that they use for phone and one's for data. But they put an RJ11 on the end of one of them. So there's unused pairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. And so your house, the way they terminated is the same way they did mine, where I had the structure box and then everything came to it, but nothing was terminated on the end. The coax to every room was like that. The the Cat 5 the same way was not terminated at the very end. In fact, just a week ago, I've been searching for one of my home runs to the garage. So I have two garage home runs. Like two Cat 5 lines that I run from the garage where the DMARC is, where internet comes in, where power comes in, phone, et cetera. And I knew there was two lines coming in, but I could never find the where the second one went. And everything all went to the master bedroom closet where the structure box is. But I'd gone in the attic of my garage. So it's a two-story house, but the garage is not part, is like a separate like extension of the house. And when you go in the attic part of the garage, you saw a blue line and a white line running across the top of the garage, going into the house and then down where the termination is. And I found it in the wall and I terminated it, but I couldn't find anything inside the structure panel of a white cable or, you know, where things have been joined or whatever. I could never find it. Been in this house for 9.5 years. 2 weeks ago, I found it. I was like,
oh, nice.
So I can run now. I can put one of my, because I have a couple powered over Ethernet devices in the garage, and I'm trying to get the garage, the access point to the garage is pretty far away, and both my cars need Wi-Fi. So I'm just like, all right, so is there I need to go through and set something up. And right now it's been a mesh going over to it, and the cars can be pretty
temperamental,
pretty demanding. And I can be pretty demanding with it. So it's like, because they download all their map data over Wi-Fi. And so it's just,
gotcha.
And there's every time there's an update, it's a huge, like 50 gig update. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
So long story short, I've managed to get the internet, which is definitely a relief.
Yeah. This has been this
now
show.
I can set up the beds.
Well, yeah, you have internet. You have a bottle of champagne in the fridge.
Correct. That's the only thing in the fridge.
Yeah.
That is the only thing in the fridge. I'll tweet a link to my fridge with this bottle of champagne in it. It's quite funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So how about you? You've been a busy boy with Black Friday coming up from what I hear.
Yes. It's been a crazy 2 weeks trying to get everything up and sorted. Actually, I will say one thing before we do this. So we've been having trouble trying to schedule this podcast. We're actually doing this. Hopefully this show will go live the day after we're recording it. So we're recording it on Monday, and hopefully on November the 20th is when everybody's going to be able to start hearing this. Because I was out of town at for a memorial service for a family member. We were trying to go through and to schedule getting you recorded, we were trying to schedule recording on Friday. You had like internet issues trying to get hooked up at the house and a whole bunch of stuff going on. And then last weekend, and then finally when you were able to do it, I wasn't able to do it because I was involved in a swim meet all weekend, including Friday. And I'm sitting there on the swim meet on Saturday morning and I turn around and there's this guy in the stands and he's got a podcast, one of our podcast t-shirts on.
That's so awesome.
Now, I remember him from the conference, but from Ignite this year. But I still turned around. I was like, holy crap, didn't expect to see that.
Did he know you were coming?
So he's a friend of mine. So
gotcha. Fair enough. So he didn't know you were going to be there.
Yeah, he knew I was going to be there. I knew he was going to be there. But I just turned around and seeing him in the stands. He's wearing our shirt. And I was like, holy crap, man. He said, these are by far the most comfortable shirts in the world. Like, so.
They really are. They really are very comfy.
Yeah.
But it is cool seeing wild sightings of our logo, which is kind of sweet.
It totally is. It totally is. But yeah, you mentioned about Black Friday. I mean, it's I have something to sell to consumers. So it's doing a bunch of sales, a bunch of deals for my SharePoint framework development course, knocking 35% off everything, anything. If somebody buys three of anything, they get the other one for free. So when you take that and combine it with a 35%, like some people are going to be able to save up to 50% on some stuff. So only good through Cyber Monday. So I will have, we'll put a link to it in the show notes if anybody is interested in taking advantage. Well, frankly, you'd be taking advantage of me. So this is the only week. Get in line because it's the only week I'm going to do it.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's pretty cool, though. I know you've done a lot of work on this, so I hope it all goes super well for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying out LinkedIn ads. I've been doing Facebook ads on some stuff over the last month, and now I'm trying out I'm still doing Facebook ads for my stuff over Black Friday to see how it works. Mm. But I'm trying LinkedIn ads for the first time as well. And man, I'll tell you, Facebook's ad platform, to being able to get a message out and everything, is so much better than LinkedIn. But I'm curious to see like what it does. The tools that LinkedIn has are leave a lot to be desired. The capabilities and features of the tools, and I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, gotcha.
See how it goes. But
nice.
Yeah,
you'll have to keep us posted.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
What do you say we dive into some news?
Sounds good.
Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focused on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make that happen. With the Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out for free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/trynwc. Struggling to reproduce problems in your code base? Successful software starts with Raygun. Raygun provides application performance monitoring unlike anything that you've experienced before, offering greater clarity around how your software is performing for your customers than any other APM provider. Easily detect and diagnose issues impacting end users and monitor every part of your stack in one place. It's time to get back to building great software instead of fighting it. Start your journey to better software quality and try Raygun for free at raygun.com today. Okay, I have a little bit of a theme today. It's not a good theme, but I have a bit of a theme. One of them is very timely. I don't have a link to share yet because other than just pointing to the Azure status dashboard.
You can't log in.
But yeah, there's no, unless you are already logged in, you're not getting into Office 365 or Azure today if you've got multi-factor auth turned on because MFA has been down for hours.
Oh, brutal. I can imagine the carnage this is causing. I'm going to have to go through and turn off. You know, you can temporarily suspend MFA on accounts in Azure AD. I suspect I'm going to have to do that with a bunch of our accounts today.
It's very frustrating because...
So MFA just blatantly doesn't work at all? Like you just can't log in? Or you won't get notifications about login attempts?
You won't get notification. From my experience is I'm not getting notifications of login attempts, so I can't confirm them, so I can't log in.
You could always switch to code for, you know, like enter your code instead, right?
Nope.
Your code's
that's set. Not working either.
Oh, nope.
Codes aren't working either. So it is, you have the experience of triggering MFA, but the sending out of the notifications and the confirmation validation of the codes and everything, none of that stuff seems to be working. Now, as of the time we're recording this, what they have on the Azure status dashboard is that they are deploying a code fix. It's rolling out now. And it should fix things. And what it looks like what happened is there's some backend service that MFA takes a dependency on, and they shipped a code fix out that broke the dependency. It intentionally breaks the dependency so that MFA will continue to work. But what exactly broke, we still don't know yet. They haven't said it. So there's some stuff on Twitter. They're getting, you know, at this after the thing that happened on September the 4th.
I was going to say, at least it's not South Central again.
We don't know.
Well, it seems global. Well, yeah, maybe. It's just showing as non-regional, which...
And that's what's frustrating about it, because at first it says it was just in Europe, and that's because everybody that was awake in Europe trying to get work done, it was affecting them, but it's also affecting Americas. The part that I don't get is that if it doesn't work, how is it showing up as a warning on the status dashboard when, I mean, it flat out's not working. Isn't that an error? That's an error to me.
Well, I guess it's only a warning because... not everybody has MFA turned on, would be my guess. I'm pretty sure that's there. That'll be the way they're wiggling out of it.
So if I'm not using an Azure, if the world isn't using an Azure web app, then is it just a warning when it's down? No, it should be out. If it's down, it's an error.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway,
gotcha.
That's going on. That's not so good. But that's not the only outage that's going on or that has gone on. Another one is with Google's Kubernetes engine had 3 days of service disruption. They have yet to post a postmortem of this as of the recording. The only place you can really find something, a discussion about this is a Hacker News thread. And It was down for this. All of this took place about 7 days ago. So that'd be about November the 12th. But it was down all weekend. It was a global thing. It was down for all regions. It looks like the details of it was that you could or could not launch a new node pool. They did have a blog statement out on it, and it was questionable whether a user would be able to launch a simple compute instance for the new node, the new node. So then the new node would be able to run on. Mm. And it looked completely out, and there were a really big Hacker News thread of people just like, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is without any kind of like, you know, official kind of a statement from Google and what's wrong. And people were just kind of are flipping out quite a bit on it. That's not even the only one either. There's another outage here that was written about on the Thousand Eyes blog about an internet vulnerability that took down Google. And it happened again. This also happened on November the 12th. Now, I'm not entirely sure if they're about the same, but it knocked them out for about an hour and a half to 2 hours that it noticed that were issues that were connecting to the G Suite. So Google mm-hmm. Apps, Docs, Excel, stuff like that. And what Thousand Eyes is, they have a monitoring service, and they started seeing like all these different things being blocked that were affecting. It started first with just Google Apps, but then it got even bigger and bigger, affecting Google Search and Google Analytics. Things getting dropped in China, things getting dropped in San Francisco, things in San Francisco being rerouted all the way over to China to come back into the U.S. There were, you know, Russian things that were going on. So I got a blog post on this one that I'll link to as well from the Thousand Eyes blog with some pretty good graphs on showing how some of the routing just got really screwy of how things were going around. But
wow. Yeah. Oh, everybody's suffering, it seems.
Yeah, wasn't so, not so good. There was a post I saw this morning on Hacker News, and it's like, hey, it's Black Friday. What is that? Tis the season of the distributed denial of service attacks. So now's when everybody's going to start making their run. So
a 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery from individual items to entire team sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com.
Hey, speaking of G Suite, Mary Jo Foley picked up last week about Microsoft is working on a Google G Suite to Office 365 migration tool set. Mm. So, you know, there's been a bunch of different ways to migrate between G Suite and Office 365, but now it looks like Microsoft's going to go and give you a tool to help with a bunch of that. And so, quoting from their roadmap entry, which is where this showed up on the Office 365 roadmap. I'm not sure if it was inadvertently put on there or not. I'm not sure. Anyway, it says, we've heard the feedback. We're excited to announce the new G Suite migration experience, which will allow you to directly migrate email, calendar, and contacts from Google G Suite to Office 365.
That's nice.
Blah, blah, blah. Our highly secure, yada, yada, yada. Your data is directly migrated to Office 365 with no resting points along the way. So you know how, yeah, lots of other solutions. You got to sort of export and then import and things like mm-hmm. that. This will just go from one point to the next. And I think what's nice about this, some of the commentary I heard about it was one of the big issues with migrating from Google is there's some sort of rate limiting at Google's end that I think prevents exporting too much data all at the same time or something. I can't remember whether it was email or docs or something like that anyway. And so a lot of the existing migration tools suffer from being quite slow because of that, from what I understand. This is all second and third-hand knowledge, so I can't be certain myself. But yeah, this will be interesting to see if Microsoft have figured out a way to speed that up. Mm. Yeah, but still nice to have table stakes migration tool from G Suite if you're wanting to move across.
I've been trying to move more of my stuff from Google Drive over to OneDrive. Trying to do more dog fooding. I'm doing it with Teams. Didn't have a great experience, but I'm in Teams and in a lot of places. Trying to go through and do the same thing now with Google Drive and finding, you know, I've got a lot of Google Sheets and Google Docs, and well, it's not hard to do a save as to dump them over to Word it's a bit of a manual process and a bit of a pain in the butt. So it's trying to get through it, but it's slow. Having something like this, I mean, I saw this like, oh, sweet. But it's for, you know, mail, contacts, calendars right now. So
Yep.
Cool.
I've got another one along the Office 365 track, I guess, topic. There's an article here. Dutch government report says Microsoft Office telemetry collection breaks GDPR.
Ooh.
Microsoft pledges to address the issues. Address. That's funny. Has already released zero exhaust Office telemetry setting. Zero exhaust. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, there's this report that comes out that some investigators have found that Office subscriptions are basically giving away a little bit too much personal data for tracking people and things. And so, and they also do it without informing users. So, I'm not sure exactly what Microsoft will be changing to get around this, but I just thought it was interesting. It's kind of the first report that I've seen where Microsoft has been accused of breaking GDPR compliance.
This telemetry thing is interesting. I ran into this, not this specific one, but I ran into another one last week where the SharePoint, if you have SharePoint Online, if you have your page like in edit mode and you were just sitting there doing nothing, if you opened up the whatever browser tool you use, the developer tools, and looked at your network stack and was watching the traffic that was going out, Microsoft was getting throttled by their own telemetry stuff. So they were getting slammed by their own 429s. And I logged it on an internal like message board that I'm on with some of the guys on the engineering team. And they're like, yeah, can you put this in a public forum? So I put a public issue of it on the SharePoint issue list. And it looks like what's going on is that it's constantly trying to do like an autosave. And if the autosave doesn't, even if nothing changes, it's still trying to go through and to log everything. Kind of interesting though, they're not using like something like App Insights to do this that has its own kind of queuing model that will, it doesn't hit the endpoint nonstop. It hits it on a batched basis, or when you navigate away from the page, it batches everything out. But
interesting.
Yeah. Lots of telemetry stuff, man.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. They're basically saying that this telemetry is going to US servers instead of EU servers and things like that. So there's obviously not quite everything is going to the EU by the sounds of it.
Quote, the Redmond-based company is still working with authorities on addressing items number 3 through number 8 and potentially avoiding a huge GDPR fine. Unlawful collection of and storage of sensitive, classified, or special categories of data. Incorrect qualification. Microsoft is a data processor. Not enough control over sub-processors and factual processing. The lack of purpose limitation and transfer of data outside the EEA, the European Economic Area.
Gotcha.
Wow. There's more. That's 3 through 7. Other ones are lack of transparency, no possibility to influence or in the collection of telemetry data, and the infinite retention period of diagnostic data.
Ouch.
Good find.
Ready for some picks?
Yeah, let's do some picks. AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework.
CJ's Hyperfish automates the collection of user profile information from users in organizational directories such as Office 365, SharePoint, Active Directory, and HR systems. The secure service supports on-premises, hybrid, and online environments. Bring your directory to life at hyperfish.com.
All right, CJ, we're keeping this show a little bit on the brief side here because, hey, in the U.S., it's a short week for a lot of people. So it should be a short week for us. It's going to be a short week for you, too. You're heading out to Mexico.
Sunny Mexico, exactly. I'm getting out of the beginnings of winter and going to sunny, warm Mexico for a little while. I've got an interesting pick that I think you might find interesting. It's a YouTube video called Apollo AGC Restoration. There's actually two parts to this. But basically, it follows a story about the restoration of a rare and historically significant machine, the Apollo Guidance Computer, or AGC. It was the revolutionary MIT-designed computer reporter Apollo, brought man on the moon and back. So, it's fascinating. They're pulling this thing apart and they're looking at all the different modules in it. And this is a private citizen who owns one of these things, bought it. And it just follows like going through, fixing it up, figuring out what's wrong with it, all that sort of stuff. They bring all these different experts and different bits and pieces. And it's just really cool, like nerdy space stuff, but pretty smooth. Like an incredible computer for its time, and still this is there, really, I guess. But yeah, definitely worth a watch. There's two parts to it, and I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to definitely have to add this to my my watch it later on YouTube. I have not seen this. This is a good find.
Yeah, that's nice.
A really good find.
Well, given it's, you know, the anniversary of Apollo and all that sort of stuff, so 'tis the year.
Absolutely. All right. Do you recall a couple weeks ago when I was kind of bagging on you a bit? I was bagging on you a little bit about a New Zealand guy that jumped a fence in Wellington and got the proverbial shit beat out of him by a bunch of monkeys.
Yeah, that's right.
I got a taste of my own medicine.
What? This is the US version of that?
Oh, this isn't even the US version of this. This is the about 20 minutes from my house version of this.
This is the Floridian version. Gotcha.
Quote, officials, this is from an official statement. Florida man bitten after jumping into an alligator farm exhibit. So,
great.
There's a place called the St. Augustine Alligator Farm. And it literally is, we drive by it every time we go to the beach. It's an interesting place. They've got, it's basically like a, not a farm, it's more like a zoo. And they just have a ton of alligators. You can, you can touch them, you can pet them or whatever. And then they have this big pen where there's maybe 50 or 60, maybe even more huge alligators. They got some crocodiles as well, but the big alligators. Well, this one guy, I'm not really sure exactly what he was thinking, other than he was most likely on some sort of a substance. They've got him on video.
Let's say.
Yeah. They've got him on video around 7:45 at night, wandering around the park all by himself. And then he climbed onto a roof of an oasis right off of the an exhibit that has 12-foot Nile crocodiles. Now, generally speaking, alligators don't care for people. Crocodiles do. They're more aggressive.
Gotcha.
And this dude, you see this guy, it's hard to see on the video, but this dude just jumps off the damn roof into the exhibit. He eventually got out, but in the video, you can see like a gator grab a hold of his ankle and is trying to pull him back in and doing the roll and all that kind of stuff with him.
Oh, man.
Really messing with him.
Oh.
When you see it, you can even see this crocodile trying to get up and attack him. And he gets up on, you know, it starts dragging him out, and then he tries to get up on the shore and has his foot rolling around and everything. They found him the next day. They figured out that, you know, something was a little strange because there was a little bit of damage here and there in the park. And you, CJ, you can't make this stuff up. You know the shoes called Crocs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they found one of his shoes. He actually was wearing Crocs when he jumped in.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
Yeah,
you can't make this up, right? Like, that's just too good.
Yeah, you really can't. It's 125 years. They've never had somebody try to swim with their crocodiles, and they hope it never happens again. But I know the pen where the guy jumped in, and it's like a lagoon. In the video, the surveillance video isn't very close, but it's like a lagoon where he jumped in, and I don't understand how you could. That's it. I mean, you see them get fed. You see these things climb up out of the water to get when they get fed, and they throw whole chickens out there.
Oh, yeah.
Chickens from like a grocery store kind of thing. They're not like feathered and stuff.
Sure.
But yeah.
Wow.
Crazy, man.
The idiocy of some people, eh?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's a bit harsh. He was.
Not this guy.
Yeah. He was definitely not on planet Earth by the looks of it.
Yeah, exactly. So that wraps up the show. Just a little bit of a show update for everyone. So the next like 2-3 weeks, actually, you know, we do this kind of every year where we take a little bit of time with the show. We will have another show out next week that we're recording right now. It's the week of Thanksgiving in the United States. The following week, you're in Mexico, but we'll have a show come out that week because we're going to record another one this week. That's the week of, actually, I probably should pull a calendar up so people know what we're talking about. We will have another show the week of, what is that going to be? That's the week of the 26th that'll come out. But I'm going to be at a conference in Denmark at the European SharePoint conference. I will have some of the podcast t-shirts with me. So if anybody's looking for a t-shirt, I have t-shirts.
Nice.
You're going to be sitting in sunny Mexico. So you're not going to be doing
without
anything.
A t-shirt.
Yeah, without a t-shirt. You will need one of these t-shirts.
Correct.
And then the following week is the week of December the 3rd. I'm going to be at I think you come back that week, but I'm going to be at the SharePoint Fest Chicago, where I think I'm scheduled to do a live show there. So hopefully we'll be able to stream a live show and also publish one that week. And I'll have t-shirts there as well. Although you'll probably want, you know, with both of these, you'll probably want a lot more than just t-shirts, but it could be pretty cold in both places.
Sure. But hey, for it's a yeah, go grab a t-shirt.
Layer up
to those places. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we may have a show here or there where, you know, we may have a week off or something, but you'll have some coming. Just pay attention to us on Twitter, and we'll have hopefully I will see you, some of our listeners, at one of these two different shows, and you just sit back and enjoy yourself and just work on your tan, Mr. No Sun Seattle Boy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you know, I've got to go for a while because it's a lot of translucency to reverse.
Sounds good.
Awesome, man. All right. Have a good one, AC.
You do the same, CJ.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a wave or an MP3, and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show, or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter, at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.